We live in an increasingly data-driven society. Data flux poses and then answers the question of whether data has any real significance in our lives. It uses the GDP of the United Kingdom as the main data set explored, but also compares it with other metrics in order to discover its utility. Techniques of expressing data in sound are used both explicitly and implicitly. Sounds were also recorded from my PC setup using a telephone pickup coil microphone. This enabled the capture of sounds our ears cannot detect normally. These sounds work away in the background and are not explicit to us, much like the economy, as their surface level effects are all that we experience. In this work, I bring the economy to our attention, much like I do with these sounds. Dataflux was completed before the full extent of the current COVID-19 pandemic was apparent, and therefore some of the information and semantics in the work surrounding recessions has been cast in a new light. The work is narrated by Felix Lindsay-Hales and also includes an improvised drum kit featuring a couple of drum solos. Dataflux combines these sounds with film and data visualization.
There is data everywhere and about everything. Data is the new oil, many cry. More and more of the technologies we use produce data points to be analysed and utilised. Companies are using this resource in various ways and to ever greater effect. They and their products collect a broad spectrum of information about you, from your internet cookies to your browser history, from your heart rate to your purchase habits. From your credit score to your location. But some data seems to have no significance or implication at all for our lives, and the statistics given about such data seem completely removed from the reality we actually experience. The size of the economy, for example, is not a real thing we encounter, although it is told to us, and we might have some semblance of what it means for our lives. It is, in the end, just a statistic. GDP is considered by some as the world's most powerful statistical indicator of national development and progress. If this is so, then surely more of us should know and care about its meaning and implications. GDP, meaning gross domestic product, is defined as the total amount of goods and services produced in a country within a set period of time. It is frequently used to rank the nations of the world by economic size and by politicians to evaluate their country's overall economic performance. But some people point out its limitations in measuring social good, as it seemingly does not take into account happiness, social progress, or environmental well-being. In 1971, Simon Kuznets was awarded the Nobel Memorial Prize in Economic Sciences for his empirically founded interpretation of economic growth, which has led to new and deepened insight into the economic and social structure and process of development. This was in recognition for his work in the 1930s in developing methods for calculating all economic production, and with it, the standardization of the concept of gross domestic product. Franklin D. Roosevelt administration utilized Kuznets' idea of GDP when determining fiscal policy in the recovery of the Great Depression. Kuznets then, working with the Department of Commerce, standardised the measurement of GDP, which has not changed much ever since. It was used extensively during the Second World War, helping the government guide the United States towards full productive capacity to face the toil of war. In 1944, at the Bretton Woods Conference, the World Bank and the International Monetary Fund were established. GDP became the standardized tool used by these institutions for measuring a country's economy. It thus gained international use and reputation, and its predominance has remained ever since. Where we are now is that GDP has widespread use by the institutions that help shape the world's economy, namely government treasuries in determining fiscal policy, central banks in shaping monetary policy, the IMF, World Bank, and United Nations in formulating international financial policy, and businesses and financial corporations as an indicator for business and consumer activity. The way GDP is calculated is by GDP equals consumption, the total expenditure by households on goods and services, plus investment, such as business investment on new machinery or factories, plus government spending, like on healthcare or infrastructure, plus net exports, which is gross exports minus gross imports. So this formula for calculating GDP seems to then cover every aspect of our economy and nation. However, this is not the case. Things are left out of the calculation, which some say demonstrates its uselessness as a measure of well-being. Even Simon Kuznets warned against its use in measuring welfare. It is only a single metric, and our society is so highly complex. A dynamic competitive market for products causes technological innovation and invigoration of those products. These improvements can lower the cost whilst raising the quality, both of which benefit us greatly, for the reduced spending would be adverse for GDP. It does not take into account the negative effects caused by businesses in their pursuit of profit. GDP is only concerned whether a company sells goods or services. Other things are not considered. Second-hand purchases are not counted despite their efficient allocation of resources. Volunteering, and with it, its amazing societal value, is disregarded from the data. But the most significant thing, unvalued and ignored by GDP, is the vital and arduous task of raising children. If we analyse GDP, we have no way of determining the variance in wealth or income equality. It does not show the disparity there is between the top and bottom echelons of the distribution. Is this really something that should be left out of the world's most powerful statistic? The ranking of countries by GDP can cause disrespect for those lower placed, even though the reason may be simply explained. They might have a tiny population or no natural resources. They might have been ravaged by pestilence, war, or famine. That very country, despite its rank, may very well serve an important niche in the world's economy. It may also be proud of how they're doing, if they think back to merely a few years prior to how it was. GDP, how then could you possibly be such a useful and important metric if you have so many flaws? Why do we use you if you do not take into regard our welfare or our precious environment? why do you view us as minus consumers and workers with no intrinsic worth? What is it that you can offer us that can give any insight at all into the state of being? Our economic growth cannot be infinite when our planet is so finite. So why should we not focus our attention onto other things? We're advancing so much as a species every day. So why should we hold on to an old statistic that cares not about our progress or destination? GDP. You are just a single metric. The world is an awe-inspiring and massively intricate place. How can you ever hope to be of any relevance or significance to us? GDP. What do you want of me? United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland has a diverse and interesting populace with many different lives and experiences. Our country is comprised of four nations, three crown dependencies, and 14 British overseas territories. This nation is home to over 67 million Britons, which causes the UK to be quite densely populated. However, we are not spread evenly across the land. Large mountain ranges like the Highlands and Snowdonia causes people to congregate in more habitable areas. Many towns also developed in areas near the coast and navigable rivers. This coalescing of people in certain areas causes there to be greater economic activity in those areas, with London in particular being a major international economic area. £2.1 trillion in size, which ranks it as the fifth largest in the world. The current size, or nature, of the economy is not how it always was. This nation has seen many transformations in how its people make and spend their money. Britain was the birthplace of the Industrial Revolution in the 18th and 19th centuries. This rapidly changed the lives of Britons as many migrated from rural areas to metropolitan areas for the new opportunities there. The focus of the whole economy changed during this time from agriculture to manufacturing. Many transformations then occurred in the 20th century, which caused focus to change again to what it is now, a service-based economy. Services account for 80% of this nation's GDP. And the sector is as diverse as the people who work within it, such as in our creative arts industry or our massive financial sector, in healthcare, education or hospitality, or our drivers, lawyers, scientists and software developers. We each have a different relationship to the whole economy, which reflects the varied lives we all lead and our different specialities and interests. It is useful, however, to combine together all of our different experiences into nationwide statistics. This lets us see if there are any overall trends and correlations. We shall compare GDP data of the UK to data about progress and development to find out if it can reveal any insight into our lives or have any implications at all. This is the GDP of the United Kingdom since 1800, adjusted for inflation. This is the population of the UK since 1800. Does the increase in both metrics mean that our economy is only growing because there are more of us? Let's look at GDP per capita data. Let us equate GDP numbers with child mortality rates. And now, with life expectancy. GDP does not always increase. There have been dramatic falls in our economy with major consequences. Recessions impact all of our lives and are defined as when GDP contracts for at least 6 consecutive months. Its effects are not to be underestimated. The most recent example of this was the Great Recession caused by the 2008 financial crisis. This was the second worst recession the world has ever experienced after the Great Depression. It took 5 years for the economy to recover back to the size it was before the recession. Because of it, in our nation alone, over 1 million people lost their jobs. Tens of thousands of people lost their homes, and billions of pounds were lost from pensions. In times of recession, child mortality rate stopped decreasing and life expectancy stopped increasing. Unemployment has always increased in times of recession. The productivity of businesses reduces, prices of products increases, investment decreases, and government finances are tightened. But when GDP grows, child mortality decreases and life expectancy increases. When it grows, unemployment decreases and income increases. GDP growth is met with increased business activity and foreign investment, as well as an increase in tax revenue for the government, so they can spend more money on our welfare and safety. The more our economy grows, the more entrepreneurs and inventors can create new technologies and services which further raise our standard of living. The Human Development Index was created to be a statistical composite of life expectancy, education level, health level, and living standard, and has since been endorsed by the United Nations. This metric seems to encapsulate all the measures of development and progress for our society. GDP per capita, despite just being about the economy, is regarded as an effective indicator of quality of life and standard of living. So what happens if we compare, for every country on Earth, their Human Development Index and GDP per capita? These two metrics about quality of life, one created for that very purpose, the other just about the size of the economy. Data by itself is an inert substance. It has no impetus or implication in of itself. It requires the proper elaboration and effective communication of meaning from the bearer to the bystander. GDP on the surface is a meaningless data set, an irrelevant string of numbers. But if we go deeper, unpacking what the statistic means, why it is important, and how it has actual implications for our lives, we can begin to understand its significance. GDP is indeed only a single statistic, and we must ask ourselves, how much can we expect from this lone metric? The world is a complex place, and so we need to compare, find correlations, spot patterns, and deduce meaning from those comparisons in order to formulate a more comprehensive matrix of understanding of our world and the people within it. Data is a tool that lets us abstract an entire population of people to grasp at some understanding of them as a whole. It will never be able to capture all the intricacies and nuances of the many people there are, nor will it ever be a substitute for acquiring knowledge about life from personal experience. But it is a means of accessing a higher abstraction to learn about how we are all doing together in this journey of life.